SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here as a new week begins. It's a Monday on Football Full Circle. It is FFC all across the Sports Grid radio network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty to get to here on this Monday, although things are a little bit quiet as of right now across the football landscape. But Lisi will use the time to have some fun in college football today. I have an idea for us that I want to run by you, and I want your thoughts on it. You can be honest. This is on-the-fly production work. The behind-the-scenes process, pull back the curtain for Football Full Circle. I think we look at the Power Four conferences, Lisi, and we talk about the favorites. Sure, we'll highlight those, but we pick some long shots that might make a surprise run, perhaps to a conference championship game, or could contend for a college football playoff spot out of those power leagues. What say you, Mr. Mastermind?
Yeah, why not? I mean, let's dig deep. That's what it's all about, finding value, right? We found some value. I keep going back to the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Granted, they didn't win the Big 12, but they were a 60-1 ticket at the start of the year just to win the Big 12 championship. So that's the type of value that you look for throughout the regular season with conference realignment and now new teams in different conferences. There's the opportunity to blow some of these Power Four conferences wide open, right? Long slot shots. Maybe it's a new addition in the conference, or maybe it's the usual suspects with a better roster in 2024 that can contend not just for a conference title, but maybe a college football playoff appearance.
Yeah, and that's the way the landscape now looks nationally in college football. If you are going to contend for a conference championship game appearances in these power leagues, you will have a very good chance, not only, of course, if you play in that conference title game to earn one of the automatic bids to the CFP, which had not been the case in the four-team era, but if you're there in the conference championship game, even a defeat probably does not end your season, as you could very much be in play for one of those at-large berths. We'll get to college football in just a moment, but some NFL news and notes from around the weekend. Darren Waller, Joe, has retired at the age of 31 from the National Football League after a very scary situation, a health scare that he experienced in November. He is walking away from football. Of course, played most of his career, at least where he was at the peak of his abilities, with the Las Vegas Raiders. Spent last year with the New York Giants, did not play a ton, and now is retiring from football at 31.
Yeah, and you know, a good choice. You know, I could have sort of saw the writing on the wall. And the reason why I say that is, you know, throughout the offseason, Darren Waller didn't look like he was completely bought into the OTAs or the offseason conditioning. Granted, the off-the-field situations in terms of his divorce, there were a lot of circumstances that had him away from the game of football. But on top of that, the injuries as well, right? He wasn't 100% last year, certainly wasn't 100% throughout the past couple of years with the Raiders and Giants, and it affected his play. So, you know, better to make that decision now, not just for Darren Waller, but Brian Daboll and the New York Giants, right? They need to know who's bought in and who's bought out for the 2024 campaign. And I think it's best for both parties. And granted, one of the best hybrid tight ends that, you know, never really lived up to the potential, playing at Georgia Tech in a triple option attack, great size, great athleticism, and really came on over the past couple of seasons in terms of the Raiders, but never living up to that Travis Kelce type of career. It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think he made the right decision, Ben.
A Pro Bowler back in 2020, the only year getting to the Pro Bowl in his career with Las Vegas, played 16 games for the Raiders, had close to 1,200 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. That followed the final year of the Oakland Raiders in 2019, in which Darren Waller finished third in comeback player of the year voting and had over 1,100 receiving yards as well. Darren Waller was very open about his struggles with sobriety and some of his demons from his past following an overdose in 2017, but seemed to get back on the right path to be playing football at a very high level. Just from 2020 on, Joe, never really played a full season. 11 games in 2021 with Las Vegas, only 9 games the following year in 2022, was traded last offseason for a third-round pick to the New York Giants, and now is retiring from football after only playing 12 games last year for Big Blue, who will get a considerable cap saving, as this is after June 1st that Darren Waller makes this determination, over $11 million in terms of what that cap hit would be. Unfortunate that he was never able to get fully healthy, of course, which is the key component for any successful football career, and is now walking away from the sport. But that's where things stand. Yes, as you said, Joe, he has been in the headlines because of his marriage and now divorce with WNBA star Kelsey Plum, the Las Vegas Aces. And as of late, Darren Waller released a rap video, a song that was one of his singles that led to a lot of ire on social media as well. Regardless, he did not appear for any of the offseason workout program with the New York Giants. They were starting to feel that this was going to be the case, made official over the weekend by Darren Waller.
Yeah, again, and you know, best for both parties. Again, he had the size and the athleticism that many scouts and many GMs want to find in terms of a tight end. Mismatch type of situations and red zone opportunities, the ability to run routes like a wide receiver, and that's what a lot of, you know, teams cherish out of the tight end position. Again, playing at Georgia Tech, people didn't realize his upside because he wasn't utilized in the triple option attack, but, you know, credit those scouts and GMs for finding him and then translating it to the NFL. Again, you know, it's unfortunate that he did have the off-the-field situations and, more importantly, couldn't stay healthy for the Raiders and Giants. But, again, you know, these players are young, but they know their bodies, right? If you can't play at the A level, you're risking harm to yourself and you're risking harm to your teammates. So glad that he made the proper decision and wish him the very best. I think he made – didn't he just cut a video as well in regard to his relationship?
I mean,
he was putting out a rap video, so maybe he's got a singing career on the horizon.
I believe his grandfather, and the reason I know this is from a Thursday Night Football profile before a game with the Giants this past season. His grandfather is a legendary recording artist from the 50s, I think, in New York City. But again, I don't have enough knowledge really to be discussing that. Other news and notes, Joe, around the NFL. Rashee Rice gave his first public remarks this weekend on Saturday at a youth football camp in the Kansas City area after what has been a tumultuous offseason off the field for Rice following a stellar end of his rookie year in KC. Rice was, of course, arrested in April following a multiple car crash in Dallas, and he ran from the scene, is also a suspect in a separate incident and an alleged assault at a Dallas nightclub the following month in the month of May. Rashee Rice saying on Saturday, quote, "I've learned so much from that. All I can do is mature and continue to grow from that. This is a step in a better direction for me." Rice, who has taken part in some of the offseason program for Kansas City, Joe, still could face some discipline from the National Football League and the personal conduct policy that is instituted within the NFL. But we heard from Rashee Rice himself for the first time in what has been a wild offseason for him personally.
Yeah, again, you know, there's nothing that Rashee Rice can say, you know, that's going to take away from what he did a few months ago or 5 months ago in regards to that situation. He does have to learn from it. It's unfortunate, and I keep saying, you know, these younger players, when they get a lot of money, you know, the agents are the first ones to sign them. They can't wait, but they have to also educate them as well, especially if you're concerned about your client, right? You have to educate them and make sure that they understand what they can do and what they can't do. And he's fortunate as well, Ben, that nobody died in terms of that crash, right? You know, it was it was unfortunate that people got injured and that's all it was. But we saw the situation with Henry Ruggs like 4 years ago. His career is completely washed away and he's in jail. So Rashee Rice got very lucky in terms of this situation.
You hope that what Rashee Rice said on Saturday is true, that he is learning from it and he is growing from these experiences off the field. We'll see what his future holds in Kansas City. College football conversations come your way up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, for the next, at least, I would say 40 minutes here on this show, Joe Lisi and I will go through the Power Four conferences for the upcoming 2024 college football campaign, and we'll list who the favorites are, maybe the top two prices, but give you some longer shots down the board as maybe some teams that could surprise or have a year that exceeds expectations in 2024. Lisi guy, how does that sound to you, my friend?
I love it, baby. That's what it's all about. I mean, I will say this. I'm an SEC guy. You're a Big Ten guy. But I believe the conference.
You're an SEC guy?
Yeah, I love the – I mean, come on.
You would say – I know you love LSU, but you would say overall you're an SEC guy?
That and Big 12, yeah.
I feel like more Big 12, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Big 12, I believe in, and where I was going with that is that I believe the Big 12 is going to be the most electric because I think there's the most parity from top to bottom. We could see any number of teams potentially, getting there to the Big 12 championship, especially now with, Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. I think it's a wide open field. Even though we have front runners and favorites, you can make the case for maybe even 8 or 10 teams to knock down that door. So, I mean, I believe from a football aspect, just from, what we're going to watch on the football field, that conference has the ability to be the most entertaining. And I'm not just talking about games, 70 to 65. I mean, there's some defense being played in that conference as well. So, curious to see how it all plays out at the end.
Yeah, Joe, when you look at the Big 12, top to bottom right now, there's not that many teams that have a win total that's all that much less than what bowl eligibility would be. Some of the lowest win totals in the Big 12. Houston, 4.5 in the under, has the hefty juice. Cincinnati at 5.5 in the under has heavy juice at minus 148. BYU, 4.5 in the under has the juice at minus 128. Same with Arizona State and Baylor, 4.5 for AA. SU, 5.5 for Baylor. The under has the juice at minus 172. I would say that Kenny Dillingham is going to continue to figure things out. A lot of talent on that Sun Devil roster, but a lot of the teams in this conference, show, there's not that 10.5 really that we see in the other power conferences, although there's no 10.5 win total listed in the ACC either. There's not those clear front runners, which I think, because of the uncertainty, does maybe add up to a very intriguing race for what that conference championship game could look like, who plays in it, and what some teams might have to do to get there. So I guess, Lisi guy, let's start with the Big 12. Let's look around where the Big 12 stands at this moment. And when you see the conference winners right now, those conference title odds within the Big 12, it looks to be a two-team race. Utah the favorite, plus 310. K-State back by less than half a buck, only 40 cents behind the Utes at plus 350. But again, we're not so much focused on the favorites for today's theme or episode. We're talking some long shots within this conference. So, Lisi guy, if there was a team or maybe even multiple clubs that you wanted to highlight that could make a run and surprise some folks in the Big 12, who would that be?
Well, I mean, again, we've already talked about UCF as being that team. But outside UCF, I mean, I think the two teams that I would buy into in regards to potentially being dark horses for the conference would be Texas Tech. Joey McGuire, I was on them last year. I'll be on them again this year. And I still like what Oklahoma State has from a recruiting aspect. Ollie Gordon comes back in regards to the nation's leading rusher. They're an 11-1 shot when you just look at the conference odds. And I think Mike Gundy has done a fantastic job in terms of just retooling talent, right? That's why I liked them last year, because everybody sold them short because of the transfers, because of Jim Knowles moving on to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But all he did was retool offensively. They got solid quarterback play out of Bowman at the end of the regular season. They ran the football effectively, and when they run the football, they win ball games. And they beat Oklahoma at the end of the year, which was a very impressive win. So 11-1, I like Oak State, and I also like Texas Tech with a leading rusher, Taj Brooks, and they're starting quarterback Brennan Morton coming back. Joey McGuire's built the foundation there, won back-to-back bowl games. I think they now can elevate to the next level in year number three.
10-1, tied for the fifth best price in the Big 12 with newcomer Arizona. Of course, the Big 12 looks different. It has seen some changes the last 2 years. The four newcomers last year, Houston, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, the four newcomers this year, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and of course, Colorado, with the exits of longtime staples and longtime favorites entering a season, Oklahoma and Texas. Joe, you know I like the OK State pick. I really like the look of Ollie Gordon. A lot of talent returns for the Pokes. I do think Arizona, with the retention of Noah Fifita under new head coach Brent Brennan, with Tiatora McMillan, who I think is one of the best wide receivers in all of college football, I think Arizona can make some noise in its first year. Did you mention Central Florida? I don't believe you did.
I did
right?
At first. I said we talked about it last week.
Right, we talked about that. Yeah,
I figured, you know, if you wanted to bring it up as your pick as well, we could get it into a deeper discussion. But that was our pick that we both said last week would surprise. So I left that out.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we both love the UCF win total over 7.5. And I do remain there. I actually don't know, Joe, if I like the Knights to really challenge for a spot in the conference championship. I think they can win 8 games. If they're winning 8 games, there's a good chance they can get to the Big 12. I just don't know if I would highlight that team as the one to make some noise, just because the defense last year was atrocious, one of the worst rushing defenses in the country, bottom five. But I know what they are going to do offensively at Central Florida this year under Gus Malzahn. That's why I like them to go over 7.5. The team that I would highlight, Joe, and it's not the longest of long shots, it's not a 20-1 price or plus, it's a 9-1 number on Iowa State. I do believe when all is said and done this year, Joe, I'm going to bet on Iowa State to win the Big 12. I really believe in what Matt Campbell returns this year in Ames. Rocco Becht, of course, is that quarterback coming back at the spot, who gained a lot of invaluable experience last year. It was really good at the helm, and so much talent returns for the Cyclones. In fact, the most returning production in all of FBS college football. We'll continue to talk Iowa State in just a moment and some looks at the Big 12 before we transition to the next power conference and some long shot teams to keep an eye on. We continue the college football conversation on a Monday on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Lisa, I mentioned I'd have a couple of points on Iowa State when we return. Rocco Becht, of course, the quarterback that returns for the Cyclones, as well as so many of his top weapons and the entirety of his starting offensive line. The most returning production in all of college football next season is Iowa State. At the Power Conference level, at the FBS level, it's the Cyclones in Ames. And when you look at an Iowa State team, Joe, that suffered 4 of its 6 regular season losses by single digits, I look to this Iowa State team to improve on those tight margins, go over the win total of 7.5, and I think when all is said and done, earn one of the 2 spots into a Big 12 championship game.
That's a great call. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Last year, I put Matt Campbell on the hot seat, right? The off-the-field issues with Hunter Deckers and Jabril Brock, and that team as a whole had a lot of negativity. But that negativity actually turned into a positive with the addition of Rocco Becht, the freshman, and the ability to get him involved in that offense and gain valuable experience. He led them to a bowl matchup. They lost in the Liberty Bowl, but it didn't matter because now the stage is set for year number 2 with him at the helm. They have the ability to really be one of the most explosive offenses. Now, they need to run the football a little bit better. That was the MO under Matt Campbell for the years, right? That Iowa State was successful, you know, dating back to 2019 when they knocked off Baker Mayfield and all of the crew, right? They could run the football ball, and their offensive line was one of the best in the nation. They did not allow a lot of sacks. They had one of the better third down conversion rates throughout the nation. That regressed a little bit over the past couple of years. They weren't running the football consistently. That put them into predictable third downs. They changed that last year towards the end of the regular season because of the evolution and progression of Rocco Beck. So he could be one of the biggest bright spots in regards to the conference as a whole. Think about the quarterbacks that are in this conference on top of Rocco Beck. Noah Fifita, Shedeur Sanders, you got Brennan Morton, you got KJ Jefferson. I mean, the list goes on and on about the depth at the quarterback position. Avery Johnson, another Heisman hopeful. If Rocco Beck can live up to the expectations and take off from where he did last year, they might be a 9 or a 10 win football team, Ben.
I think one of the best wide receiver rooms in the Big 12, Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins back for Rocco Becht as well. And I wonder what it takes. Obviously, conference play different than overall record as it comes into the win total. But I wonder what that conference record now looks like in the Big 12 to get you into that conference championship game. Joe, we'd be doing a disservice to our listeners if in a conversation about the Big 12, neither you or I mentioned Colorado to contend for a conference title, but we didn't at least bring up Coach Prime Deion Sanders in year number two in Boulder. Neither of us said we expect Colorado to contend for a conference championship spot. I'm not sure CU even goes over its win total of 5.5 to see bowl eligibility. What's your outlook for the Buffaloes this year?
Yeah, I think five or six wins. And the reason why I say that is parity. I think Shedeur Sanders has the ability to light up in regards to stats. And as long as Travis Hunter's healthy, I think they have the ability to get to six wins. The question still remains, can they shut down the run effectively? And can that offensive line protect Shedeur Sanders? Because he got hit early. He got hit often. They had one of the worst offensive lines in the country. They need to run the football more effectively, get it up to at least maybe 100 rushing yards per game to take the pressure off of Shedeur Sanders. Otherwise, they're just going to be a one-trick pony. They're going to be predictable. You know where they're going to go. And if they fall behind like they did against better teams like Oregon, they're going to get boat raced. So again, I think six wins isn't out of the realm of possibility, but some of the teams that they beat last year, they're no longer the hunted, right? Meaning the huntee, excuse me. They're the hunted. Just because they didn't get to six wins, people are going to be gunning for Colorado now. They're not going to take them lightly. And that's where I think it's an uphill battle. So we'll see how it plays out. I need to be impressed with that defense. I know we took in a bunch of transfer talent, but I need to see that talent gel as a unit. And I can't do that right now. Five or six wins at the most. And that's not a knock on Deion. It's just that I think the teams in the conference are that much better and ahead of where Colorado is.
5.5, the win total for CU. The over has the juice. I don't believe in a fully transfer portal idea in terms of roster construction or a reliance on the portal to do it. I don't know how much improved the defense got, and I thought one of the bright spots of Colorado last year was their first-year offensive coordinator, Sean Lewis, in terms of starting off the season. He's no longer there. More on Football Full Circle, the ACC, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Lisi guy, now we turn our attention to the ACC, looking at those conference long shots and who could surprise us this upcoming season in terms of making a run to a conference title game or maybe coming home the conference champion. When you talk about the ACC, Joe, the favorite right now is Florida State at plus 270, 80 cents in front of Clemson, plus 350 for the Tigers, Miami at a plus +430 price. Those three teams virtually separated by a dollar and a half. But again, our focus today is not the favorites. It's looking at those long shots who might make some noise. If you were looking deeper down the board, Joe, in a new look ACC with the addition of SMU, who was a double-digit win team a season ago, or with the additions of Cal or Stanford, who do you think might make a run and surprise some folks within the ACC?
Well, I'll leave Tech for you because I know you're going to go there. I would take a shot.
Yes, thank you.
I would take a shot on Louisville at 6-1, which technically is fourth best price in NC State. And the reason why I say that is Jeff Brom has done a fantastic job in regards to just, you know, recruiting the talent. The game plan offensively and defensively, that defense was very opportunistic. The ability to coach up in big games knocks off Sam Hartman and Notre Dame in year number one. I mean, that was a primetime game. Technically knocked Notre Dame out of contention for everything. So that was a big ball game, and they were able to run the football. They ran it last year with Juwan Jordan. That offensive line was physical. 6-1, I think, is a pretty good price. And then NC State. I know I'm not a big buyer of Dave Doran in regards to, like, you know, big picture. I don't think he's as good as Saban or Brian Kelly or any of the greats. But it's at 6-1, 7-1 for that defense, very under the radar. They bring back a lot of talent. He coaches up the offense and defensive lines. If the quarterback position could elevate to become above average, I think they're going to be there. I like NC State and Louisville as two dark horses.
NC State, Joe, one of the few teams around the country that has won 8-plus games in at least 4 of the last 5 seasons. NC State, really solid football school. And Dave Doran has been doing some incredible things there with this Wolfpack squad. Now at the quarterback position, you've got Grayson McCall making a look for NC State. Jordan Waters, the transfer from Duke, as you highlighted, going to be there as well. And the defense was stout and returns a lot of talent as well. I think NC State is a team to trifle with within the ACC that is outside of that perceived Big Three right now, which is Florida State, Clemson, and I guess Miami. We can talk about Miami in just a little bit. You're right. My pick is Virginia Tech. Speaking of teams that return a ton of talent, Von Tech returns 21 total starters. That includes the special teams players as well, your punter and your place kicker. But there is so much to like about what Brett Pry did this past year in Blacksburg and what Von Tech brings back, mainly at the quarterback position with Kyron Drones, who is a dynamic athlete at that quarterback position and what he is capable of. So I believe in Von Tech. I think Von Tech goes over their win total of 7.5. So if they're going over that number, I think they can maybe challenge for an outside spot in that ACC title game. I still do believe, though, Joe, like in the Big 12 we talked about, K-State, Utah, I do think Iowa State can overtake one of those two teams. I do think Virginia Tech is worth it as a long shot within the ACC, but I do agree with having Florida State and Clemson above the rest. The other team that I will just mention, and yes, it is my alma mater, and yes, I am biased, what Fran Brown has already done for Syracuse is absolutely incredible. And I really do believe this will be a good year for the Syracuse Orange coming up in 2024. With Kyle McCord there, with LaQuint Allen coming back, they're going to be a team that I do not think is a doormat by any means within the ACC. So give some love to my Orange while we're at it.
No, Fran Brown, a master recruiter, comes from a national champion in terms of Georgia. And I texted you over the weekend, one of their recruits that they brought in. Yeah. He's completely 100% natural. Looks like he's Thor coming out of a movie. So if he could get that type of talent coming to Syracuse, they have something. It's going to take a couple of years, obviously. Taking over for Dino Babers, it's a different scheme, different talent. But again, I think they have the potential to maybe be a 6-win, 7-win football team if the schedule breaks right. So we'll see how that plays out. I'll throw this out. I mean, isn't it like intriguing when Mac Brown came here and they were picked, you know, with Sam Howell and then Drake May? And look at the drop off, 45-1, Ben. 45-1 to win. That's not to make the college football playoff. That is to win the ACC. Think about that for a second. I mean, if we believe Mack Brown is this master recruiter, right, and, you know, he has the coordinators and he's a CEO type of guy, 45-1 with now Max Johnson taking over. I feel like Max Johnson's in school for 100 years. LSU, Texas A&M, and now North Carolina. Guy just bounces around just like everybody else. But, I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. If he's above average, you got to believe that maybe, just maybe, Mack Brown could coach his team to at least challenge for 8 wins this season.
You would think so. Armarion Hampton is back as well at the running back spot, a very explosive individual. Yeah, it's interesting to see UNC with a win total of 7.5 and the under having the hefty juice. It does surprise Joe, to say the least, because the quarterback position has been first and foremost for these North Carolina teams over the past, what, 4 or 5 years from Sam Howell into Drake May, and that's been the optimism. And frankly, North Carolina has been great to start off seasons, and then they just fade down the stretch the last 2 years. When you look at North Carolina a season ago, as I pull things up here, in terms of what their schedule looked like, I believe they started 8-0 once again, and then following that, started to peel off. They started 9-0 the year prior in 2022 before peeling off despite playing in that conference championship game. Yeah, no, a 6-0 start for North Carolina in 2023, but 8-2 entering their final 2 weeks of the regular season after that double overtime thriller against Duke with an opportunity to perhaps make some noise into the ACC title race, and then lost to Clemson and lost at NC State to end out the year. So they've just kind of faded, Joe. I think they've lost a little bit of that steam. It was a 9-1 start for Carolina 2 years ago that did end up playing in the ACC championship game, getting trounced by Clemson 39-10.
Yeah, they could beat teams like Minnesota and they could beat teams like Miami, but they lose games like Virginia, a team that was dead and buried last year in their house, right? So they cannot ill afford to have that if they're going to make a conference championship run. They're 45-1 pegged right there with Syracuse. Again, the defense hasn't been great. They're a bend but don't break type of unit. I believe they have 4 or 5 starters coming back, but it does hinge on Max Johnson. Max Johnson had the best promise of any LSU quarterback taking over for Joe Burrow, and what happened? He just failed to live up to expectations. He did have glimpses of greatness in certain games, but, you know, they were far and few between. And with Texas A&M, I just believe that, you know, it was the wrong system with Jimbo Fisher. Maybe Mack Brown and that offensive staff could cultivate a little something. They're going to be more wide open, have a better passing attack than I believe Texas A&M did over the past 2 or 3 seasons. So maybe he can elevate and progress in the scheme. But again, you're talking about a 45-1 shot for a team that was picked at the top of the division and the conference for the past 2 or 3 seasons. So to get that much of a significant drop off is value in regards to that conference.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make that charge to a conference championship game, but there was a team that won this ACC conference not all that long ago. That was Pitt. Pitt right now, a deeper price even than North Carolina in the ACC. Pitt's number 110-1. Interesting times for the Panthers there as well. Now we go in the Power Conference, but to the Big Two, Big Ten and SEC long shots. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
From the Power Four to the Big Two, it's time to talk Big Ten and SEC long shots for this 2024 college football campaign, live right here on Football Full Circle. Lisi, guy, we start in my conference. That's the Big Ten. Ohio State, the favorite at plus 160. Oregon, not all that far behind, despite being a newcomer at 2-1. Penn State, plus 500. Michigan at plus 650. Now, I mentioned all four schools that are still about $5 within each other in terms of prices, because after Michigan, that's where you get the drop off, and that's where you really start the long shot conversation. USC has the 5th best price, but it's at 22-1. triple the price of Michigan and then add on some change to get to the Trojans with that fifth best number, followed by Iowa at a 35-1 price. So there is a large drop-off, Joe, between what is considered the Big Four in the Big Ten, those three schools that used to play in the East, and the newcomer in Oregon.
Yeah, I'm looking at these odds now and thinking about who we're going to take in regards to, you know, outside the usual suspects. And it's a huge, significant drop-off. You can make the argument for Iowa. They've been there in years past. But Deacon Hill now has moved on. I don't care who the quarterback is. You could bring Chuck Long back from retirement. I still wouldn't back Iowa 35-1. USC,
what if I gave you Ricky Stanzi?
Yeah, Ricky Stanzi, bring him back. I can't. Brad Banks, let's bring back him.
I was going to say, Banks is probably, in this day and age, our best chance of truly exciting offense.
Yes, I still can't back Iowa 35-1, right? If you look at their chart, Ben, every other year they step up, right? So last year they were above expectations. Then most likely this year they're going to play down to the level of expectations. Now, I can't back USC, although I told you, with Lincoln Riley and Miller Moss, you got value for a team that, you know, has a 7.5 win total. It's, again, what are you going to get out of that? Can they outscore teams? Not bad value, but I'm still not buying in at 22-1. I would buy into 60-1 to Nebraska. Part of it's because I do want to root for the Cornhuskers. The other part is I want to see Rayola hit the ground running, and I want to see Matt Rhule live up to expectations in year two. Mm-hmm. They were a hair away from making a bowl game, right? They had four or five opportunities down the stretch, lost three games by a touchdown or less, some in double overtime, some by a field goal. I mean, it was unfortunate, but I'll buy into the Nebraska Cornhuskers as my deep shot at 60-1. Even though I think Jed Fish will turn around Washington as well, I don't think there'll be a huge drop off. That's a tough ask. In year one, he's got to build it. So give me Nebraska at 60-1 as my dark horse.
And listen, because of how significant the drop-offs are in the Big Ten this year, from a Michigan price at plus 650 all the way to 22-1 for Southern Cal, long shots are a relative conversation. You could make an argument Penn State is a long shot, having not played in a Big Ten title game in quite some time. And of course, it is different this year in the Big Ten Conference. There is no East Division versus West Division in that Big Ten title game in Indianapolis that often made sense to play a long shot ticket on an Iowa, on a Wisconsin, on even a Nebraska, whoever you consider to be favorable to come out of the West, because you got to Indy, you had a big plus money price to hopefully hedge out of. But as we saw in all 10 years of East versus West, the East division was victorious. Now, Joe, for what you bring up in Nebraska, you know, you don't have to pull on the heartstrings, you know, hard for me to feel that the Cornhuskers might have some value at 60-1. Nebraska last year was 5-3 entering the month of November. It seemed as though they would win one final game at Michigan State, at home versus Maryland, at a down Wisconsin team. The Heroes game against Iowa, it's a rivalry you never truly know. They did not. They lost all four games, three of the four by a single field goal, one by a touchdown to Wisconsin, and that game was in overtime. Now, I tweeted this out on Friday. I do believe it bears repeating here on Football Full Circle. Maybe not to win a Big Ten title, maybe not even to sniff the conference championship game, but Nebraska last year was 5-7. If you look at Matt Rhule's improvement year over year in terms of what he has done from year one to year two as a head coach in college football, you have to be optimistic about the Huskers entering 2024. You just have to be. Because if you look at what he has done, there is a track record of success, and there is a track record for rapid growth. Matt Rhule, year number one at Temple back in 2013. 2-10. Year two, 6-6. Year number one in Baylor, 2017. Some people might say, well, Baylor was a good football program. No, he took over a Baylor program that was nearly at its end. They had been stripped down to the core, and rightfully so, because of all of the things that were happening outside of the football program involving football players on that campus, the sexual assault and rape violations and allegations against the Baylor Bears. So one win in Matt Rhule's first year in Waco, and then the next year they won 7 games, including a Texas Bowl victory. And Matt Rhule, Joe, has said that year number one in Lincoln actually felt like year number two at his two previous stops, which, if you're talking about growth, you have to be incredibly excited, because year three at Baylor, after winning a bowl game, they played in the Big 12 championship game. Year three at Temple, after getting to 6 wins, they won double-digit games in back-to-back seasons in 2015 and 2016. So after a 5-7 season, I do expect Nebraska to be on the up and up. If I'm going to look for a team, though, that is a long shot price, to me it is Iowa at 35-1. And here's why. The Hawkeyes are one of 9 programs around the country that have won 8-plus games in full seasons the last 5 years. Of course, that excludes 2020. I understand there will be questions about the offense under new OC in Tim Lester, with Brian Ferentz no longer being there. I don't think the offense is going to be great, but they return so much talent defensively that if they are going to be a 9-3, 10-2 football team, which I believe they will be, and soar over the win total of 7.5, they will be in conversation for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, they run the football, they play sound defense, and they're very opportunistic. If the defense can carry them and then they get at least adequate quarterback play out of McNamara, they're going to be there, Ben.
Yeah, and I'll just mention one other team. No, I'm not about to predict the Rutgers Scarlet Knights make the Big Ten title game, but at 110-1, for a Rutgers team that I shared last week, I made a bold prediction on that they would win 8 games. 8 games for the first time in a decade. Listen, Rutgers might have a little bit of life at 110-1 to win the Big Ten title. SEC conversations next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on our long shot episode of Football Full Circle. Teams in the power conferences that we think can make some runs, maybe that are a little bit under the radar for 2024. Joe, now we go to the SEC. Georgia the favorite at plus 185. Texas second best price at plus 310. Ole Miss plus 650. Alabama at plus 950. Now, if we're looking for a long shot team, Joe, within the SEC, who might make a run potentially at nowhere this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, again, for the SEC, I'm high on Ole Miss, just like you are in regards to, you know, yeah, Jackson Dart. If we're talking dark horses, keep an eye out for Tennessee. And the reason why I say that is Nico, really hit the ground running last year.
Got Nico
some
who?
Experience it. Quarterback Nico. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm not going to butcher it. I'll let you do that. But all I'll say is this. Josh Heupel's scheme translates, right? That's the biggest thing in regards to the tempo. He loses Jabari Wright and Small to the NFL draft. It doesn't matter. The tempo and the scheme are there. If Nico can elevate his game, and I think he can. I mean, from what I saw in that bowl win over Iowa, he was poised. He understood, you know, where his reads were. He tucked it and ran, didn't make poor decisions. And that's valuable experience now. If he can elevate, he could be one of the most explosive type of players. Keep an eye out, maybe a Jaden Daniels type of player. And at 11-1, Tennessee is recruited very well. I know they're behind my team, LSU and Ole Miss respectively, but they have some value at 11-1. I think they're better on paper than Missouri right now, and that's not a knock in terms of Drinkwitz, but I think Josh Heupel is building something there. 11-1 is great value.
I love, I mean, I think his name can't even be Nico I on CFT this year. It's got to be quarterback Nico. Nico Iamaleava is the quarterback name for Tennessee. It's a little bit difficult to pronounce, but you just say Nico and then dropping quarterback Nico really did crack me up. I enjoyed that.
Well, I just want to make sure we're under the same, you know, thing. I know who he is. I just can't pronounce his name.
Well, I know you know who he is.
He did get $9 million to go to Knoxville without even stepping on the football field, so he better live up to expectations.
For sure. I completely agree, and I expect him to. Now, you said you have Tennessee in front of Missouri. Mizzou was going to be the team that I highlighted as a team to keep an eye on, a 15-1 price on the Tigers. I don't know how you could not buy into what Eli Drinkwitz is trying to bring back this year to Columbia, because you have one of the best passing offenses in the SEC with one of the most steady presences at that quarterback position, Brady Cook, coming back. And not just Brady Cook being back by himself. Okay, quarterback back with his head coach. No, you have maybe the best wide receiver in college football, Luther Burden, returning to Columbia as well. Okay, Luther Burden not good enough for you? How about Theo Weiss on his way back as well? And then you add in a couple of my favorite running backs from the G5 level last year, now making the jump to Mizzou. Marcus Carroll, who was a top 10 rusher in the country out of Georgia State, he's now there in Missouri. Ooh. And Nate Noel from Appalachian State makes the trip over to Columbia as well. At 15-1, Joe, I actually believe Missouri is worth a sprinkle in the new look SEC. Texas deserving of that second best price behind Georgia. And the Bulldogs are going to be tremendous offensively and even improved, if that's possible, defensively from a season ago. I would not overlook Alabama. I would not overlook the explosiveness that is Ole Miss. I think LSU will be in consideration, but I really do believe Missouri is going to be able to make some noise in this new look Southeastern Conference.
Hey, they abused Ohio State, right? They went toe-to-toe with Georgia in Athens. I mean, that was probably one of their best efforts. They had a first-half lead against the Bulldogs, and Carson Beck just could not hold it down. So if they play that way, they're going to be there, Ben. I think, you know, the pressure is on. I think a lot of teams have gotten better ahead of them, but they could be there. If you get that type of progression from Brady Cook and Luther Burden, they could outscore anybody potentially in the conference.
You know that I love, and I know you love them as well, the player props early on in the college football season. Looking at Brady Cook for his passing yards prop is going to be probably one of my first starts each and every week as I try to fill out the betting card for a Saturday in the fall for college football today. What a good show, huh? About 50 minutes of college football talk and some long shot prices to sprinkle on in early June? Come on, Mastermind. What do you say?
I love it, baby. Nothing better.
Yeah. Hey, as a wise man once told me, this is what it's all about. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, starting at noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.